This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, who are you listening to?
That is Can't See You When I Want To, the debut solo single, not a lot of those, but debut solo single of Memphis songwriter David Porter, who turned 83 years old today. Happy birthday to David Porter. Sending that out to Grizzlies fans in recognition of not being able to see Ja Morant when they want to, although they did see a win last night.
Got the win last night. You wrote about it. I've tweeted out your story. I commend people to go read that, as well as Drew's story on Taylor Jenkins. And you talked to Desmond Bane. Nice to see Desmond Bane. Maybe the best thing that happened last night was watching Desmond Bane hit shots.
Yeah, I thought, you know, other than the Taylor Jenkins coaching record thing, I thought the lead of the game was Desmond Bane sort of breaking out, having his best game. You know, bouncing back from what had been one of the worst games of his career the night before, and having his best game since he's come back from injury and really sort of taking control of that game, you know, in the second quarter and giving the Grizzlies a lead. They never quite lost.
You had a line in your story. Sometimes it's great to – there are nights when you hit three-pointers, but you said sometimes a good flow helps. And I got the sense that it's not just random you hit good
– right,
there's a connection between how you come out, mindset, everything else.
Sometimes it is, but sometimes guys just miss shots or just make shots. But I thought the game had a good sort of rhythm. The Grizzlies had a pretty good rhythm for most of that game, and good rhythm, good flow, and the ball's moving and players moving, and you're getting good shots and rhythm. And I think when you get good shots and rhythm, that doesn't mean you're going to make them all, but you're going to make more of them that way, you know?
Right. It got shockingly nerve-wracking at the end there. They were up 19.
Up 19, yeah.
Were you surprised they left Embiid in at that point?
I was. Well, he sort of tweaked his knee, and he came hobbling to the bench, and I thought he was done. I was very surprised that he came back in. It's weird. You watch him up close, like there's so much padding on that one knee. Like, it's really amazing. And this is just Joel Embiid, I guess. And, like, you know, this is the way he was in the playoffs, you know. It seems like he can barely function, and then you look up and he has 30 points and whatever, you know.
He's an interesting guy to watch, and in that, like, that foul line jumper is like, does he ever miss it? Like, right. It's just one.
He's like 7'2", 300 pounds or whatever right. He is. And so, you know, it's hard to contest it. Yeah.
On the other hand, it doesn't feel like it engenders great team basketball. Like, maybe it's just they're a mess generally. Paul George goes right. out again. I don't know. What did you think watching him and them?
Oh, I mean, I think if that team had the best possible versions of their three best players, and with Nick Nurse, who I think is a good coach, I think they could put together a really good basketball team. But I think none of the three – last night was the first game all season. They've had all three starters, all okay. three of their main guys start a game, which is only one fewer than the Grizzlies have had of their main three guys this season to start a game. But none of them were right. You know, Maxey's first game back from a hamstring. I was looking at his box right. score. I mean, he's a really good player. He didn't want to do much. Paul George, you know, re-injured his knee, but didn't look great before he did. Embiid, I mean, they're just not. At this point, they're like 2-13. I mean, I think it's done.
2-12,
something like that.
2-12. I think it's done.
It's probably. I don't even in this East. I just think they're too far back and too many inherent problems. Like, what's Paul George going
to
play again?
But they don't look like they're poised to make a run.
Right. Right.
By the way, last year on your fantasy NBA team, you had both Tyrese's. I hope you unloaded both of them.
I still have them both. I think those are the guys I kept. Do I have both?
Because Halliburton's been bad.
No, I don't have Maxey. Do I have Maxey? I don't remember. I kept Halliburton, and yeah, he's been bad. I'm scuffling along. I'm like a 500 team.
So then we also saw Cam Spencer last night. That was a little bit of a surprise to me anyway.
Well, you know, Conchar and Smart were both out. Yeah. And so to get to 10, he could have just played 9.
Right.
But to get to 10, you were going to have to play one of the three two-way guys. I'm really wondering about, like, the two-way stuff. Like I don't know. They signed the Colin Castleton guy right before they had these injuries on the perimeter. But, like, to me, he's not like a long-term project like G.G. Jackson was,
right.
And I don't think he's going to help them, so I don't really, you know, I don't know what's, you know, what they're getting out of that. And so, you know, I think they will see if they're right about this. I am uncommitted. I'm an uncommitted voter on this.
Uh-huh.
They're really high organizationally on Cam Spencer. To me, it's similar to the Yuki thing. I think there's more potential there, but similar to the Yuki thing where he's a really talented basketball player, but it is not clear whether he has the baseline size and athleticism to play at the NBA level. And watching him for 90 minutes last night, I'm still uncertain about that.
He didn't really try to do much last night. He sort of, I didn't know. He had the one gaff.
Well, you know, part of that was he would get the ball sometimes and he couldn't. It was too hard for him to get a look.
Right.
Just because of the size athleticism stuff.
Yeah. Yuki, though, for the hustle yesterday, 15 points, 16 assists.
Yuki's good. He's just, he's just too small, tiny, you know?
Right, he's like, just too small. Right. In terms of Taylor Jenkins, and we were trying to sort this out, this is the most regular season wins. Is right. that right? It's yes. the most regular season wins. It's right. not, because then if it is, it's he is not in fact the winningest if you count playoff wins, because Lionel has more.
Lionel has twice as many.
Right, lots more.
Lionel has 18 playoff wins, and Taylor Jenkins is tied with Dave Yeager at 9. To me, the real story of like Yeager becoming the winningest coach in franchise history.
Jenkins becoming
the winningest coach in franchise history. Taylor Jenkins is a good coach. The Grizzlies have had multiple good coaches, and he is one of them.
Right.
But the story of him becoming the winningest is the story of the franchise stability during his tenure relative to the franchise instability during the tenure of the other bad coaches. That is right. what it's about. Lionel Hollins would have put a bigger number on the board, but Lionel Hollins. Grizzlies' tenure ended after 56 wins and a trip to the conference finals. And it ended that way because there was an ownership and front office change that happened during his coaching tenure. Taylor Jenkins is still coaching for the same owner and lead executive who hired him.
Right.
Now, he's contributed to that stability.
Right.
But it's the story, he's a good coach, but the story of him getting there is the story of longevity, and the story of longevity is the story of stability. That's really what it's about.
I when I was reading your piece on this, that totally struck me that And Drew had a quote from Lionel congratulating Taylor. But it is 100% true, because basically you could take all of Yeager's regular season wins and add them to Lionel's if there had simply been the same ownership and continuity.
Yeah. There's no reason to believe that the record would have been different with Lionel versus Yeager coaching that team.
Yeah.
Sure.
So, again, that's no disrespect to Taylor Jenkins. I think Taylor would acknowledge that, too.
Right.
So, it's sports talk radio, so you have to bear with me here. How would you rank the Grizzlies coaches?
So I got asked this the other day. So I always, when stuff like this comes up, I always, as a childhood Bill James fanatic, I always think of the way he would separate, in terms of baseball players historically, peak value, career value. Mm-hmm. It's two sort of different things.
Right.
In terms of career value, I think it's Lionel. Taylor Jenkins has one more regular season win, and Lionel Hollins has twice as many playoff wins.
Right.
Like, to me, that's an easy calculation. Right. So career value, it's Lionel. Peak value, if you're just asking me, like, at a precise moment, who did the most, who impacted things most with their coaching, like, what was the best single season coaching job? It's two guys that are different from Taylor Jenkins or Lionel Hollins. One of them people talk about all the time is Huey Brown, and one of them, like, people, it's like they step on their, he sets up on the bottom of their shoe, is Mike Fratello. Mike Fratello's coaching job his first season with the Grizzlies was amazing. He came in, the team had a losing record, it was in disarray, Huey had left sort of unexpectedly, the whole thing was a mess. He comes in, he gets it back on track, but he is running everything through Pau Gasol. It is Pau Gasol and some dudes. He is running
right.
Everything. Every possession is Pau Gasol. And he gets it back on track. They're winning a bunch of games. And then Pau Gasol gets hurt. And he's out for like a month and a half. And you've been running this whole team through Pau Gasol and just a bunch of random dudes. What are you going to do? He rerouted the entire system and started winning games and running through stuff with Brian Cardinal, Lorenzen Wright. And that team won like in the high 40s. It was an amazing coaching job, but he like wasn't good about slapping backs with the media, and people didn't like him. You
right?
Know?
Yeah. He. Well, it's funny because we did acknowledge we had in our poll you can only have four slots,
right?
And I acknowledge we left Mike Fratello out of the slots because we put in Jaeger and Dave Jaeger has the highest winning percentage of any coach.
He did not participate in a rebuild.
Right, exactly.
All this stuff is contextual.
100%.
Like, there are guys who aren't good coaches. All these guys are good coaches. And to me, their performance is almost entirely based on their circumstances.
Jaeger did not participate in a rebuild. And
Fratello came into a team that was going to take a downturn because there was a hard ceiling on it.
And Taylor Jenkins hasn't coached, well, he has coached a lot of games now without Ja, but he hasn't coached a team that didn't have Ja.
This is true. But he came in on sort of on the early build.
Part, yes.
And so he was set up to have a losing record or whatever his first season, you know?
They've had a bunch of good coaches. Do you have any strong opinion as to whether, for example, Dave Jaeger or Taylor Jenkins is a better coach?
I guess my general sense is that for 48 minutes, Dave Jaeger might be a better coach. But the coaching job is more than just managing
it's about within an organization.
So living within an organization, but it's also about player development, right? and putting in it's a big job with all kinds of components to it. And I think in the totality of that job, Taylor Jenkins is probably better. I think, you know, the classic game coach, react on the fly, manage your 48 minutes in front of you, is probably Jaeger, who I think was really good.
That question about – it was interesting because they made a bunch of hires this year in the offseason that seemed to be player development guys, right? They hired a bunch of people with player development background as if they were trying to – in the same way that they were trying to correct the offense. But they've been very good at developing players. I think it's one of the things that you have to put in his positives, in the list of positives. Don't you think, Taylor Jenkins?
Yes, I do. I don't know. That stuff gets complicated. You know, there's player development. There's sort of developing players within your system or whatever, and that's not unrelated to sort of player development and system development and all this. I think they wanted to be better in some areas. Whether they have become better or will be better is sort of hard to tell because it all starts with the talent, and like they haven't had their guys.
Right.
And so, you know, we'll see.
Are you to the point where you think it's going to be looked back as a mistake that they didn't pick up Jake Laravia's year?
Yes. No, yes. I was on the fence when it happened, and now I would not be on the fence. I think it's a mistake. Now, do I think it will be a profound mistake? Do I think it will be like taking Hasheem Thabeet second in the draft or signing Chandler Parsons to a max contract or even trading for Justice Winslow?
Right.
You know, no. In the realm of mistakes,
how about trading Marcus Smart? Is that a mistake?
Yes, but in a different way than I think some people, like, because I've talked to people about this. The mistake is not, if you go back in time, I do not do that trade. But I don't go back in time and, like, keep what I have. I don't think that means you sign Dylan Brooks to a to the market value contract. You beat the Houston offer on Dylan Brooks. I don't think it means you don't trade Tyus Jones going into the last year of his contract. The problem was not those two decisions. It was that I would go back and look for a better trade, right?
You gave up two firsts, right, too.
Yeah, one of those was the 24th pick, and like, you know, that ended up being Marcus Sasser, you know, or Colby Jones or something like that. The main asset was that Golden State pick, and I think at the time that they made the deal, they were probably internally projecting that pick to be like number 23 or whatever, and then the Warriors had sort of a bad season. It was like pick number 14. Like, I think that trade was fine when it happened. It has not worked out to this point as well as you would have wanted it to. So if I go in the time machine and go back, I'm taking the same offer, Tyus Jones and these two first-round picks. I'm looking for something different to do with it. I'm not going back and, like, keeping Tyus Jones and all of that.
The other question is where do you come down on whether it's fair to judge things in retrospect as opposed to whether it's the Jake LaRavia decision or the Marcus Smart trade as opposed to at the time?
I think it's okay to judge things in retrospect, but you should keep in mind the circumstances when the things were made. Like, you should bring the context of both to bear on your analysis, I think.
Yeah, the idea that you shouldn't look in retrospect seems crazy to me because part of the job is to be predictive here.
That's right.
You know, it's just like, you know, so same with stock pickers. You look at how they did 5 years ago, 5 years look back and see how they did. So, all right. The other thing that was really interesting to me was Jalen Wells played again last night, played well last night. A couple things from your piece that I thought were fascinating. One is Luke Kennard just talked about his defense. Like, he's clearly impressed.
Yeah.
Now, that's Luke Kennard. He's got a probably low bar there, but still.
I had some hesitation about using that quote because, I mean, it's Luke Kennard's opinion, not my opinion, but also think it's not true.
Right.
And so sometimes I'm resonant because it feels like I'm like, you know, seconding the opinion if I use the quote, and that's not my intent. He's just talking. He's talking about his teammate. Like, Ryan Dunn
is easily the best defensive player. You know, there's no question.
And so I think it's true to say that Jalen Wells has been a good defender in a way that's been surprising for, like, a rookie second-round pick who people had. I think still, actually, if you watch him play, there's still some legitimate questions about his level of athleticism. But I think what's impressive to me is I know I was noticed this through the game, and I sort of flagged a couple plays, and I'm referencing them in the piece. Just his composure and his patience. It's not just like he plays good defense and he hits threes. There's a level of patience. He doesn't get sped up. He doesn't really play like a rookie, and that's to me what's most impressive about him.
Anything else? Well, the Cam Spencer stuff. So Cam Spencer played, but then the connection between Cam Spencer and Jalen Wells.
Who is on the elementary school team? That's Jalen Wells and Jared McCain.
Oh, it's Jared McCain. Okay, it was Jared McCain. Jared McCain put up 20 for the Sixers last night.
They're both Sacramento natives. They went to elementary school together for 5 years, Jalen Wells said, and then played on the same AAU team when they were middle school. And if you look right now, Jared McCain is first in the league in rookie scoring. And I think Jalen Wells is third. Like, if you voted today, they would both be like first team all rookie. And I'd have to, you know, we would call the Elias Sports Bureau or whatever, but has there ever been an NBA all-rookie team with two guys who went to elementary school together
who played on the same elementary school team? Having watched that and seeing the mess that the Sixers are, because some of this is talent, but some of it's opportunity, I think Jared McCain is now the favorite for Rookie of the Year. He's had six straight games, I think, 20 or 21 points.
I don't know. I mean, I think if that team ends up being bad, I think that matters. I mean, Dalton Connects had a great week.
Right.
And the Lakers are good, and you get a lot of attention in L.A. So if he just keeps, you know, if he does what he's done over the past week for the next 4 months, he's probably the Rookie of the Year. If Zach Edey gets back into the starting lineup and is averaging 15-8 or whatever, and the Grizzlies are a top six seed in the West, you know, it might be Zach Edey. You know, Zachary Richichet is actually the leading rookie scorer right now in an Atlanta team that's going to be in the playoff mix. And so to me, it's too early to declare a clear favorite on this.
In terms of the health, Ja, any updates on any of them? So Marcus Smart was out again with illness, right?
Yeah, apparently there's like cold flu stuff going around the team. I think some guys have been playing under the weather. Smart's now missed three games with what I assume is something like that. Conchar's missed one. I got to assume those guys are probably back. They get two days off before they play at Chicago. The Zach Edey thing, I mean, there's been no official declarations other than the week-to-week stuff. Zach Edey was never in a boot. And so I don't think Zach Edey's going to be out a long time. Like, I can't put a number on it because I don't know. They're calling it week-to-week, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was next week he's back.
Was there any information on Vince Williams?
No, because that was so soon. Taylor was basically like, we're doing imaging and we'll know more. It's a sprained ankle, but it looked like a pretty bad sprained ankle.
Looked awful.
And Ja, I don't know. Maybe it'll be next week. Maybe it'll be 2 weeks. It could be three. I don't know. But like, Ja is not going to be a long-term thing now, clearly. I mean, he's walking around fine. He's right. Throwing hints out there. And so I think we've reached the point of the doubtful injury designation alert. Like we reached the intrigue point where you look at every injury report and see like when the doubtful Ja Morant thing pops up, you know?
All right, Chris, thanks very much. Oh, we're giving away Justin Timberlake tickets in the next segment. How many times have you seen Justin Timberlake?
I want to say three. I think I've seen two arena shows.
At FedEx Forum?
FedEx Forum. One of them may have been in the Pyramid. I don't remember. But I've seen two. I think both FedEx Forum. I've seen two arena shows. And then he did a show. He did sort of a...
Oh, the free show, the pop-up free show at the Orpheum? That one?
Well, no, not that one. But he did one at the New Daisy. This is a long time ago. In between his first and second albums, he did sort of a tour prep kind of one-off homecoming New Daisy show that I was at. Yeah.
Have you done big pieces on him in the past?
I've done. I don't know what constitutes a big piece. I tried when Jason Levien was here. I was trying to get an interview with Timberlake, which Levien said he could hook up for me, and that never happened. So I've never talked to him. I've written about him in all kinds of different capacities, and in fact, probably today or tomorrow, I'll have a piece going up, an Essential Memphis Library entry on his debut album.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll talk to you about that tomorrow. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
We're going to play Righter Than Right Trivia coming up next, giving away two tickets to 901 Wrestling and two tickets to the Justin Timberlake concert if you can just muster yourself to play honorably. The phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. We'll take caller number two. We'll do that. We'll take caller number two. Kevin Cerrito will join the show to preside, and may the best man win. 445-09.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
92.9 Righter Than Right Trivia coming up next. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Kevin Cerita, the Meister of Fun and Games here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. You can hear Kevin every week with Jeffrey. I was listening to y'all as I was rolling down the road yesterday. So I appreciate those appearances, but I appreciate this appearance as well. How is the how's the world of fun and games this week?
Oh, it's great. We've been busy. Holiday parties have started already. So if you are looking for a last minute holiday party, you can go to our website, ceritaentertainment.com, and let us know whether you want to do Christmas music bingo.
What do you mean last minute? This is planning. This would be planning for me or Jeffrey.
What is this last minute stuff?
This is thoughtful pre-planning for the Christmas season. But okay, how do they do it if they want a pre-plan way in advance of a holiday party?
Right, way in advance. I often hear from people like before Labor Day for these things, but we can still accommodate it if you need to figure out something fun to do at your holiday party. All the contact information is there at ceritaentertainment.com. But as far as everyone else, or the holiday events are about to kick in. This is the last Righter Than Right trivia before the holidays. Thanksgiving is next Thursday, so there won't be trivia next week. But we're just 1 week away. So the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, is when we kick off holiday events around town, including Quizmas, which is our annual holiday-themed trivia nights. We've got Christmas music bingo that will start on Black Friday at Ghost River Brewing Company. We'll be playing that 6 days a week during the holiday season. And once again, you can turn your trivia night or your bingo night into a Starry Night. We've got tickets to Starry Nights that we'll be giving away every night during the holidays, as well as other holiday-themed events happening around town, including we'll have tickets to holiday events at the Orpheum Theater and more. We'll be talking about it here. We've got great prizes that we're giving away, but today on Right or the Right Trivia, I think it's the biggest prize in the history of Memphis radio, right, Jeffrey?
We do. We have two tickets to go see the Justin Timberlake show. That is Saturday night at FedEx Forum, as well as tickets to 901 Wrestling's final show of 2024 at Minglewood Hall. Of course, they'll be back in January as well.
Yeah, that's happening this Sunday, November 24th. Kids get in free to every 901 Wrestling show at Minglewood Hall. They will get in free this Sunday. There's a massive six-man tag team main event. We had half of that team in studio on Jeffrey Wright and Company yesterday afternoon, plus the semifinals and the finals of the 901 Wrestling Classic presented by the Memphis Flyer will take place this Sunday. Big show, 901wrestling.com. Tickets available for that one. So Timberlake on Saturday, wrestling on Sunday, a very Memphis weekend. There's not many things more Memphis than Justin Timberlake and professional wrestling. Besides, of course, Righter Than Right trivia.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey, who's our contestant today?
Jeff, we welcome Steve from Oakland. Steve, you're on.
Hello, Steve. We wish you the best of luck. I'm turning things over to Kevin.
Steve, your job's getting more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you'll win. Of course, you just got to play honorably to qualify for a chance at that prize. I'm going to give you the choice of two categories. Whichever one you do not choose will automatically go to Jeffrey. He could steal from you one time and vice versa in the event someone misses a question. We're going to start. Your two categories today are going to be around the world or around the U.S.
I'll take around the U.S.
Around the U.S., the U.S. Army Special Forces are commonly known by what other name that is based on their hats?
Rangers.
Oh, Steve.
That is not correct.
Oh, man, good Lord.
It was their hats. It was the hats, Steve. I should have took a beat.
But
I think he's ruined the steal. He just said it out loud, Jeffrey. Yeah. I think he's ruined the steal for you. He green berated that one. What are we going to do there?
I feel like that.
He ruined the steal.
I think the steal, yeah. He sabotaged the steal, which I technically you can do, I guess, within the rules of the game.
I don't know that you can.
I didn't know it.
No, give it to him because that would not be playing honorably.
Okay, that's true. All right, Jeffrey, do you want to guess on a steal?
Yes, I will steal Green Beret.
Look at this.
I knew it too.
Steve might, of all the honorable people, he might be the most honorable.
There's just a lot of game left.
He might be the most honorable. This is our whole campaign to celebrate the character of Memphians who have character is clearly working. So anyway,
hey, if the country needs anything right now, it's more character.
There you go. One to none. Not more characters, but more character.
Exactly.
It is. The score is one to nothing as we have, as my heart has all become 10 sizes larger here just listening to this show. Over to Jeffrey.
The holiday season, the season of giving is here. But it's the season of taking for me. You don't have a, Steve, I've got to ask though, you don't have a side bet on this game in particular. You're not tanking on purpose.
He took Jeffrey. He took Jeffrey in the points.
I played the fifth.
All right, around the world, the People's Republic of China is commonly known to Americans as just China. The island nation that refers to itself as the Republic of China is known to Americans by what other name?
Taiwan.
That's correct.
Unless you're John Cena.
Correct.
All right. Back to the Honorable Stephen.
So we have a 2-0 score.
It's 2-0.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, 2-0.
And you know the answer to both questions. It's a tough place to be. Yeah.
Inventions or internet?
Oh, good grief.
It's not inventions, actually, but it's just science or internet here. Science or technology. Which one do you want?
Science.
All right. And it's not an invention. In 1781, Sir William Herschel is credited with being the first person to discover what? It's discoveries.
1781.
Sir William Herschel.
Good grief. I have no idea. Sir William Herschel, 1781. Light spectrum, I don't know.
That is incorrect. In 1781, Sir William Herschel is credited with being the first. Calkins, you know what he
discovered? No clue. No possible clue.
His first one to discover Uranus.
Ah. You just wanted to say that.
Mm-hmm.
You just wanted to say that. Yeah, okay, fine. That's great. Over to Jeffrey.
To the internet, Jeffrey. What is the name of the private browsing mode on the Chrome browser?
On Chrome. Safe.
That is incorrect. We do have...
Oh, a steal is available!
A steal is available here. Jeffrey misses a question. A Chrome in the news now.
Oh, God, the government.
They're trying to debundle or unbundle Chrome.
Right, trying to force Chrome to split off
from
Google.
Cough up Chrome, yeah.
Do you have a guess here? You want to save it? And you know, we don't know if Jeffrey's going to miss again.
It came to my mind, too, and I used Chrome. I thought it was... The first thing that popped in my head was safe mode.
Well, that's obviously the incorrect answer.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I guess I'll save it. If I had to guess, I guess I'd say dark. I don't know.
Okay, no guess.
You don't have to.
I know. You do not have to guess.
I know it.
You do not have to guess.
Yeah.
Oh.
What is it, Jeffrey?
Well, no, Steve says
steal.
He knows
Jeffrey,
it.
What?
I want to steal if it's not too late.
Well, go ahead, fine. We'll let you have this one.
It's incognito, right?
Incognito.
It is
2-1.
See, I could have took a beat like that on the first mm-hmm. answer, on the first question.
It would have been a beat like that if Jeffrey had said incognito.
Yeah,
after
I
we
thought
told
about
him it
too,
was wrong.
But,
right, exactly. All right, it's 2-1, and Steve has control of the board.
Incognito. All right. Movies or music, Steve?
Movies.
The Austin Powers trilogy ended in 2002 with what final film?
Oh, good Lord, I don't remember. I mean, I watched them, but that's been two decades ago. It was something with, was it Ghost? Austin Powers, I don't remember. Gold something, I want to say. I don't know.
All right, this may be a historic moment here. We're going to give a half a point. We're going to give him a half a point. We're going to give him a half a point. Gold Member is the name of the movie. Gold Member.
We don't do half points. You got to get the whole damn thing. Kevin, this is a bridge too far. This is a bridge too far.
Hey, you promote gambling.
I hand out the points. Kevin hands out the questions. I hand out the points. Gold Member.
No half point if you are. Okay, no half point.
Yeah. It's 2-1. Back to Jeffrey.
You did get half the answer.
I can't deal in decimals. I just can't keep track of decimals.
It is complicated. We will at a bar or a restaurant.
You will do half points.
wherever you place the Rio Tribune, we do award half points quite often.
We can put our heads together and reevaluate going forward. But it's 2-1 over
for,
to Jeff
for the 2025 season.
Yeah, 2025 season. You have to tweak the rules.
There's a lot of things in this game today. We have to look at.
Yeah, a lot of things there.
In 1997, Elton John remade what song of his, swapping one famous woman's story for another?
Candle in the Wind.
There you go.
3-1
Jeffrey with another point.
3-1 3-1 back to Steve.
Books or TV, Steve?
I'm sorry, say that again.
Books or television?
Let's do TV.
TV. Stuart Hughes was an unseen U.S. president in what political TV comedy?
Was that Veep?
That was Veep.
3-2 3-2 over to Jeffrey. Steve's hanging in there. And it could be 3-2 Steve, and a half, but for my grudging score.
No, it could be three to two and a half.
It could be 3-2 and a half. Anyway, over to Jeffrey.
It should be, yes. Steve's playing great today. I mean, you would be a great team member, right? For a team trivia. Like when you think it out, when you're thinking through it, you're coming to the
answer. I would have stolen gold member,
but not if we'd given already half points for the gold member.
All right, we've got Jeffrey, you got a book question. Jack, Ralph, and Piggy are central characters in what novel by William Golding that is commonly required reading in schools? Jack, Ralph, and Piggy, central characters in a novel by William Golding. Naming the novel. Commonly required reading.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure ninth grade. Lord of the Flies.
That's correct.
Lord of the Flies is correct.
4-2 4-2 Are we done with the regulation here? I've lost.
Yes, we're done. We're heading to the final.
All right. 4-2 I presume, Steve, you want to wager both of your points. Is that right?
Yeah, all 2.5 Jeff.
All 2.5 Let Jeffrey, how many? Jeffrey's wagering one. Steve's up.
Okay. The final category today is in men's health. We're doing men's health questions because it is Movember. And I know we have many men listening to this show. So remember, it is men's health month. I don't have a mustache this month. I know you guys didn't grow one either. But it is Movember. It's men's health issues. You want question number one or question number two?
One.
Or A or B. It doesn't matter. A. That means Jeffrey's going to get B. These are multiple choice questions, which could put you already stole. Everybody's already stole. All right, here we go. At what age does the American Cancer Society recommend men begin getting prostate cancer screenings if their father had early prostate cancer?
That's a
twist. Is it A, 25, B, 35, C, 45, or D, 55?
To throw in that last caveat.
Yeah, the caveat. How old are you, Steve? How old are you?
47 this week on Thanksgiving Day.
Happy birthday. That's good.
Thanks. All right, so we had 25, 35, 45, or 55?
Correct, yes.
It's got to be 45.
It's got to be. It is. It's 45 is the correct answer.
I would have guessed 35 there because I would have thought regular would have been on
45. I think they've been changing it based on insurance.
So there you go. Look at this. We all of a sudden we have a tie, and if Jeffrey misses, Steve, you'll be triumphant.
Not only an honorable man, but
a winner.
Wow. This could be it. His birthday week, all of it happening right here. Jeffrey, your question, because in honor of men's health here, exercise has been shown to improve symptoms of depression and anxiety. The CDC recommends that adults get at least how many minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week? So that's minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week. These are for adults. How much should you get? We have A, 70 minutes, B, 150 minutes, C, 300 minutes, or D, 700 minutes.
All right. One more time.
We have 70, 150, 300, or 700, according to the CDC.
Minutes of moderate exercise a week.
Yeah. All right, I'm going with 150B.
Jeffrey's going with 150 minutes of moderate exercise. That is correct, Jeffrey.
Oh, nailed it. I would have said 300. 150 minutes. So
still too rich for my blood.
That's not barely 20 minutes a day.
Yeah, it's a random 22 and a half a day. That doesn't even make sense.
Look at you with the decimal points. Look at you. More decimal points.
30 minutes a day for 5 days a week. A couple
damn
of rest
decimal
days.
Decimal points. Anyway.
Yeah, you're taking a couple of days off.
You're giving Steve the prizes. All right, Steve. Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday. Thanks, Kevin, where do people find your stuff?
Well, I know we'll find Steve. Steve will be at the Justin Timberlake concert on Saturday and 901 Wrestling on Sunday. Congratulations, Steve, for playing honorably. And go to CerritoEntertainment.com. You'll hear all of these questions here over the next week at the live trivia events around town. It's your advantage for being a loyal listener to 92.9 ESPN every single week.
All right. We got to take a break. Thanks, Kevin. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Memphis Tigers tonight. We'll be talking about that tomorrow as they try to get the win versus the University of San Francisco. And they're beginning their West Coast trip. But, Jeffrey, there is a new NFL mock draft out. And you know, on one of the principles on this show is that we talk about NFL mock drafts. So this particular mock draft is Matt Miller over at ESPN. And he has he's got your Giants moving up to take, giving Jacksonville their second and third round picks in 25, plus a 2026 second rounder to move up from 3 to 1 to take Shedeur Sanders. Your thoughts?
So I do think Shedeur is the best quarterback in this class. I am very concerned about Shedeur being the starting quarterback in New York. The operation feels very thin-skinned, and I do think that that's the ultimate place where you have to have thick skin.
So that is, I do think he's going to go number one.
I think you can say whatever you want
about Travis Hunter, but what's interesting is, so Travis Hunter in this mock goes number two to Cleveland. He's obviously sensational. Weirdly, Matt Miller says, my scouting report lists Hunter as a receiver, given his size and ball skills, but the Browns could experiment with multiple roles. Every other scout I've Red has said he's going to be a cornerback because of his size.
Right, for the same justification.
It's just weird. He is slight. He is unquestionably slight. We see slight corners and we see slight receivers, both.
We typically see more slight corners.
You see more slight corners. 6'1 corner, that's not bad. He's a 6'1, 185-pound corner. I don't think that's...
I don't have a problem taking him because to me it's just like, all right.
He's going to... Here's what's going to happen. I think he's going to play corners and he's going to get eight snaps at receiver.
Yeah.
Is what's going to happen. Anyway, in addition,
by the way, his snap count will decrease by
dramatically.
300%.
If it'll feel like a vacation for him. The other quarterbacks going in the first round, the Raiders take Cam Ward, number four.
Most people seem to believe, the consensus is that those two are 1 and 2.
Okay, but here's what's surprising to me. What's surprising to me is there are two more quarterbacks who go in the first round. One, Carson Beck, goes to the Los Angeles Rams at 18. And
another Georgia quarterback?
And Jalen Milroe goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers at 28, another athletic running quarterback who has throwing issues.
Yes. I do love Stafford. Stetson Bennett and Quinn Ewers.
That's hilarious.
That would be three Georgia quarterbacks.
You mean and not Quinn Ewers. You mean Carson?
I'm sorry, Beck. Carson Beck. Carson Beck. Carson Beck.
Do you think Beck and or Milroe first round?
I think in the end, like what we saw last year was teams are, if you need a quarterback, they're just taking them in the first round. Like we saw quarterbacks go in the first round, then nobody went again. I think until the fifth round with New Orleans, played at Oklahoma, South Carolina,
Spencer Rattler. Yeah. I mean, it's a hell of a thing. Like I think the Titans are grateful they didn't take Will Levis in the first round.
Yeah.
Right. But if you don't believe in a quarterback enough to take him in the first round, I don't know why you take him, unless you just think you believe in him, but the value is such you know you can get him in the second round.
Yeah, but that's just a heck of a risk.
Right, if you think he's going to be a starter for you and a quality starter for you. Then there's Quinn Ewers is another one who could go, right?
Yeah, but I've always had the questions like, who is somebody that has been had injury problems his whole career and then stays healthy in the NFL?
I wonder how much in all of this, the playoffs, what we're about to see, the conference championship games and the playoffs are going to shape. In other words, I think it's true that Carson Beck, if he puts together three more games like the last one, people will forget about the struggles. These struggles, but now we're seeing the real Carson Beck.
There's a developing team. Receivers got kicked off the team. Yeah.
You see what Carson Beck is capable of. So I do think he has the chance to rehabilitate himself, and he'll do it against high-quality competition.
And there's going to be more games.
Is Jackson Dart going to get drafted?
So everyone keeps saying second or third round. I mean, I do think Jackson has a chance to kind of become the Bo Nix of this draft.
But that's a funny thing. Like, Bo Nix is a perfect example. No one thought Bo Nix was going to go first round, at least 2 months out, right?
Sure.
And then if you believe in him, take him in the first round. And right now, Denver does not regret taking Bo Nix in the first round at all. All right, go Tigers. What's coming up next?
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Drew Hill joins the program today. Joining us on Jeffrey Wright and Company, DeMichael Cole will be my company as David Cobb is. They've just had their first child. Congrats to them. So DeMichael will be my company this week. Eric will join us, as will Jason Smith. It's Thursday, so that means Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, pop on over to the Daily Memphian and read Drew's piece. Really good piece on Taylor Jenkins becoming the all-time winningest regular season coach for the Grizzlies, and then Chris Harrington's gamer from last night. Really interesting stuff there as well. We will be back tomorrow for an hour. Work is done.